The campus protests?
Yes.
It was further indication about whether or not I was on the right side of history and, you know, how I'd be able to look back at this years from now, which is what helped drive my decision.
Harrison Mann, Jewish American, U.S. Army major, recently resigned from the Defense Intelligence Agency over the Biden administration's policy in Gaza. That does it for our show. To see others who have resigned our interviews, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
As a pedestrian, you see headlights, but that doesn't mean the driver sees you. When walking at dawn, dusk, or after dark, make sure to be seen by oncoming traffic. Walk facing traffic. Wear light-colored, light-reflective clothing. Carry a bright light so drivers can see you. Use crosswalks. See and be seen. Pedestrian safety. It's no accident.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock. Do stay tuned for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes.
Holding the microphone in your hand tonight.
Yes.
It's better that way, right?
Yeah, this is hands-on broadcasting.
Hands-on broadcasting. That's what USB is all about. And we've been doing that for quite a while. Yes, so where do we begin? there's a lot going on. I don't think we'll get through it all, but we can certainly try. Hunter Biden's guilty. Yeah, that verdict came down today. And, you know, who really cares? It's not really news as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it's the president's son. It's sad. I do think it's not right for President Biden to say that it's rigged and that he's not going to respect the decision of the court and that he's going to his son, Hunter Biden, is going to pardon the first chance he gets. He said none of that. No, he said, if the other guy would say that, absolutely the other guy would say that, but Joe Biden did not. Joe Biden said he respects the decision of the jury, of the court, and he has already said he's not going to be pardoning his son, and that basically this is how justice works, and justice worked. It's a sad case. It's tragic. You know, his son with his drug problems and now legal problems. And he's dealing with it as a father. He's going to be with his son tonight. And that's the extent of it. Not exercising any special privilege or trying to get him out of that or accusing people of having some kind of an agenda or anything like that. Even though there are people who certainly do, the amount of attention this is getting is crazy. And the only reason is because it's the president's son. And yeah, okay, president's son, I guess we're interested in what's going on there. But there's a big difference because this president's child does not have security clearance inside the White House, is not given all these special jobs without being qualified for them. Yeah, you could say he took advantage of his dad's name. What kid wouldn't do that, even if he's in his 40s or whatever? But that's, you know... That's the extent of it. It's there's no comparison.
You already sound defensive. I mean, it isn't the crux of it. There's also this discussion about the Second Amendment and substance use and you know, people's rights in general, and it's turning into something of interest in a totally like sort of abstract sense beyond the actual story here that is tragic. Like
it's funny.
Said. But he's working on his debate, I think, the president.
The president is.
Yeah,
yeah, that's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't think it's disingenuous or stretching it to say that, you know, given the fact that it is a president's son, he may have as much recourse to appeal as we've seen Donald Trump exercise in all his legal entanglements. So what average citizens have as far as appealing or defending himself for. But let me say, like, what given this situation, as tragic as it is, and I'll let you respond, what kind of punishment is due in this situation? Mm-hmm. If he did community service, Would that be a gesture in acknowledging his transgression, but a lighter? You know, I mean, there's a wide scale. I mean, does he need to do hard time in prison because he was not truthful on a document for a federal document? Or I guess it was a licensing document. I mean, these are the questions that
And he might have been on drugs at the time he was filling it out.
Now that he is guilty. But like, lesson learned, don't mix certain things and weapons. And in general, weapons are a responsibility.
Well, that's the thing. He never actually touched the weapon, from what I'm hearing. It wasn't like he was trying to traffic it to somebody who wasn't qualified to have it or anything like that. But, you know, what's interesting with all this is that you have some right-wingers who are defending the Second Amendment right to have a weapon, even if you are on drugs or a convicted criminal, that. So he's got some unlikely allies in that field.
I was alluding to that and how weird it's getting. But it is the due example of which we need in terms of having quite a number of other transgressions from a former president. So
right now, like, if you compare the two,
to not have had brought this, if it is, you know, factually something that should be, you know, made right in the eyes of the law, then, I mean, this is, I guess, what we should expect from the justice system.
This is how the system works. This is how the system is supposed to work. Three felonies, guilty on all, not 34, three. But in both cases, that's how the court system is supposed to work. And in both cases, I don't think people should be entitled to special treatment. And certainly that has been the case with Trump. I mean, he appeared before his probation officer, was it yesterday? And he got to bring his lawyer. Nobody gets to do that. You know, nobody gets to have a remote conversation and bring your lawyer on top of that. He's just getting special treatment left and right. And the other cases, I mean, you know, his lawyer slash judge in Florida. Yeah, that's right. She's both. Threw out a charge against him yesterday for no particular reason. She just was feeling, you know, in a good mood or whatever. I don't know. In Georgia, they're going after the prosecutors instead of the accused. Anybody who basically says a word in a critique of Donald Trump is targeted. It's just unbelievable. This kind of cult like haze that's surrounding. Yeah, I've been reading all these interesting pieces in the Times about people who have left their churches because of all the hatred that is suddenly spewing all around for anybody who dares to not embrace Trump to the fullest. You know, people who have basically lost their jobs as a result. There was one case, I think it was yesterday's Times, of I think it was an election clerk. Who had basically been doing this for, I think, 40 years. And because she said there was no fraud in the election, and we're talking about a town where everybody knows each other, and where Trump won by, I think, 82%. He won 82% of the vote. The people there are angry that he didn't win by more. And they're accusing everybody of being part of some elaborate conspiracy. And because this poor woman, whose job it is to say that elections are either fair or not fair, because she said the wrong thing and said they were fair, now she's part of the conspiracy and is being targeted mercilessly. This is a cult. This is cult behavior, where you basically stand up for somebody no matter what they do. You don't listen to what they say. You completely unfairly and illogically blame anyone opposed to them for all kinds of things they can't possibly be responsible for. It makes me really worry what's ahead. You know, it's bizarre behavior. It's fascinating to study, but usually in history books, it's fascinating to study. This is happening live right in front of us, and I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know where it's going to go. But I will say this. I've been watching Biden. I saw him over in Paris, giving a speech, showing up for all the events, the 80th anniversary of a very, very significant event that ended World War II, the kind of thing that Trump would leave early or not show up for at all. And he did everything he's supposed to do. I'm not sure what people are expecting from him, if he's supposed to run a marathon or something as well. Yeah, the guy is, 80, 81? I don't even know. Doesn't matter. Yeah, that's, you get old, you know, Trump's not that far behind. The thing is he saying the right things? Is he making the right decisions? And I guess that is a valid conversation to have, because there are people who disagree with the decisions he's reaching. There are people who say that he's the mastermind behind all these prosecutions against Trump, which is utter nonsense. But, you know, if I were to embrace that, it would bolster my argument that he's completely sane and capable of the job. So maybe I should say, yeah, he is the mastermind. Don't mess with Biden. That's what's going to happen to you. No, that's not what's happening here. It's a combination. We have somebody who is capable of the job, making decisions that some people like and some people don't like, and he's getting crap for everything from all sides. There's no question about that. He respects the legal system, as is being proven right now with the treatment of his son.
I would even venture, like, to to push it to the extreme that, like, I mean, we're maybe putting too much emphasis on having a age or number define the office, right? I mean, there's plenty of young leaders of countries in the world that aren't handling don't bring as much to it and aren't handling the weight of the role very well. And I mean, why do you need to see what like you said, like a marathon or something, what thing that a young person could do, what does he need to do to prove that he can do everything else, that he doesn't have to like some kind of agility course,
right,
for dogs. Like he just has to
Westminster presidential qualifying.
Exactly. Right. Like, or those, you know, the tires, like they do for like strength and training for whatever team.
How about
sports,
like logging on a river or something like that. We could have that, set that up easily.
Or like going through the webbing or like crawling.
Look, Kyle, the answer is there is nothing that will satisfy them, because no matter what he accomplishes, they're going to say, well, that doesn't count. You got to do this now. You will never convince these people. And the Democrats need to stop trying to convince them. You never will. Talk to the people that support you. Get them, you know, engaged and get them excited. That is what we really need right now.
And I mean, I pointed out the people around him not being all 81, so that should count for something. The accomplishments that...
Are you accusing him of hanging out with younger people?
And I think what else I would ask is, like, is not that vision itself invigorating enough? Mm-hmm. Can you not imagine? And do you yourself, as a member of the public, trying to interpret that future, uh-huh, that they're putting forth, do you have the energy? Can you not embody the kind of energy that they're yearning for so much in a leader? I just feel like it's this like vicariousness that all your problems are going to be solved by a younger, more nimble variant of one or the other party.
Right.
Like they're both old. Uh-huh. That's the ticket that we're looking at.
Less than 5 years
staring
separates them
down.
Right.
And I think like what you're doing, just updating, following, seeing what missteps there are. There will be, we know, we're going to expect them, but like there are other leaders who have difficulty with mobility itself. And are still.
How about Greg Abbott, for one thing? You know, Trump is making fun of Biden for allegedly not being able to walk the way he wants him to walk.
Or the
and
damn
then he
Pope
praises the hell out of Greg Abbott, who's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with what you say, what you decide. And that's why I say Greg Abbott's a complete idiot. Doesn't make any difference. He's in a wheelchair. He's a horrible person. I can say that. And you can say that Biden may not be able to, you know, sprint to the finish line, you know, like somebody who's 20 can. But that doesn't mean he's not making logical and rational decisions.
Let me put it to you this way. Say we had a younger candidate and they were a veteran and they had like a limb that was missing or they needed some kind of adaptive device. It could happen.
Don't we have a bunch of those?
There are plenty in Congress and it could happen someday.
Who's that idiot with the eye patch?
There's with eye patches. Oh. Yeah. Tammy Duckworth comes to mind.
That's right.
There are plenty of politicians we make accommodations for.
Daniel Inouye, remember him from Hawaii?
Right.
Yeah, he was. Well, it never counted because he wasn't white, but you know, that's somebody who suffered some you know, debilitating injuries, but was able to do an amazing job.
And and so as such, I think should we not ask ourselves, is it not petty to be just focusing on this? That we, if were it anything else, would accommodate in kind. If this is the accommodation, then can we please get past it, and find the energy in the message,
right,
and in the possibility being set forth with the policy for all of us in our everyday, like our day to day.
It's not this. This is just the easiest thing to point at. and to say, oh, look, he's old, he can't do this, and everything he does, you know, you're why don't you try walking up all those steps to an airplane with everybody watching you and see if you get every step perfect. I know I won't. I'll probably fall more times than I make it to the top. But things like that, you're under constant scrutiny. You know, Biden already had a reputation for, you know, speaking off the cuff and maybe not saying the right thing the first time. But I have to say he has grown. He has developed his policies. He's listened to people he disagrees with rather than simply dismiss them. Look at his evolution on the whole Palestine issue. It's incredible. No, I know, you know, my friends on the left are going to say, oh, it's not enough. Yeah, but it's something. It's more than you will ever get with virtually anybody else right now. So my suggestion to you is accept that and work with that so that we can take more steps forward. Because if you reject it, we're going to be way behind and maybe never at this point again. And yeah, I know it's not what people want immediately, but you can't always get what you, I'm quoting a Stone song.
Well, also,
you can't always get what you want. It's true.
And who's the vice president for Trump?
Are you asking me?
Whoever
it is going to be, it's going to be an idiot, because only an idiot would run with Trump and accept all his garbage. I mean, look how he treated his last vice president. Look how he treats anybody who runs against him. And we're supposed to just erase all that and say, oh yeah, they're friends now, but they said such horrible things about each other. I mean, that just tells me how phony they all are. You know, you can't completely rake someone over the coals and then say, yeah, they're good. They're a good person. Well, are we supposed to believe you before, or are we supposed to believe you now? It's nonsense.
Yeah. So the conventions will have to wait for those, and they will tell us.
Oh, my God, the conventions this summer.
What they will tell.
First Milwaukee, then Chicago, within driving distance of each other, and the temperature will be hot. Okay, so happy Pride. It's an historic Pride month. It really is, because there's all kinds of challenges, all kinds of craziness out there.
It's happy and I think serious.
It's very serious. It's always serious to a degree.
Yeah.
It's happy at the same time, though. But I want to read you something from this group that, for some reason, I sometimes get notices from. The American Family Association, AFA. Boy, they're a bunch of psychos. Okay, I want to read you their latest thing that they're getting all bent out of shape about. During Memorial Day weekend, while most businesses were recognizing the ultimate sacrifice by those who gave their lives for freedom, Walmart took the occasion to promote and celebrate an early start to Pride Month. Yeah. First of all, not every business is out there saluting the flag and praising veterans. They're out there trying to make money, survive, whatever. But yeah, we can assume that people are supportive of those who made sacrifices to keep the country more free than I think we're heading.
But people, I think, forget that part's included. It's part of the deal, you know, of like being a member of the public, is that the government looks out for your defense. You know, it's included.
It's sort of part of
this
deal.
This isn't like something you're ordering extra.
But I don't understand. Why can't you also be supportive of gay rights and be supportive of veterans and those who sacrifice lives, you know, for freedom and all that kind of thing. But they're making it like it's a divisive issue. And that's what works. That's what Republicans do. You know, I want to do a segment on this show. See if we can work this out back in the studio. Angry Republicans. Every week we should do something. But what music will we use? We have to use good music. All right, we'll save this for the meeting afterwards. But there's so much material,
Don't overthink. It's just radio.
Does anybody remember we used to do SUVs in the news? Does anybody remember that? That was a segment we used to do way back, over a decade ago.
I remember it.
You remember that? And,
oh, yeah.
And that's right, you were a listener then.
It was basically devout listening.
It was put together within, I think, 15 minutes of the show airing. That's how easy it was to find SUVs that had done really stupid things.
I remember the theme. I can hear it in my head.
Yeah, then it turned out we were offending most of the audience, so we stopped. Anyway, so continuing back with the AFA, this past Saturday, and keep in mind this is a couple of weeks old, this past Saturday, Walmart presented two homosexuals, Jesus and Sergio. or maybe I'm supposed to say Jesus. I said, well, they could have picked a different name so that I didn't think right away they're talking about Jesus Christ, but that's what I saw right in front of me. Walmart presents two homosexuals, Jesus, I'll give you that, and Sergio, marketing the company's latest line of LGBTQ plus clothing. Walmart's webpage is carrying rotator ads, one of which promotes gay pride. They put that in quotes. And if you search the word pride on walmart.com, you'll get more than 1,000 items, including one t-shirt that tells you, some people are gay. Get over it. Yeah, exactly. You need to take that message seriously. Some people are gay. Get over it. Why is there a press release about this? They're selling a shirt, for God's sake. And they're selling a whole lot of other crap in there, too. Walk into any Walmart, and, you know, if you have to hold your breath before you can find the gay stuff or the gay item in there, you're not going to make it. I guarantee it. It's too big. There's too much stuff.
The best part about that is that they're making it widely enough available that someone that wears that is not going to be some, like, I can imagine someone wearing that, shopping at Walmart, that type of person is not someone you would want to mess with.
No, absolutely not. But anybody can wear that shirt, you know? Your grandmother can wear that shirt and is more likely to than a bunch of the idiots we see coming up with nonsense like this. Anyway, on its Instagram page...
It's fairly benign.
On its Instagram page, Walmart used the social media platform a full week ahead of Pride Month, oh my God, to let you know that at Walmart, it's, quote, not just a slogan. Hashtag Pride Always is a reminder to lead with love, unquote. How dare you? How dare you spit on the graves of our founding fathers and promote love and pride and all that nasty stuff. Anyway, it appears that Walmart will be pushing Pride Month with inventory online and in-store LGBTQ plus displays. It's funny, you know, wouldn't have known about this without this press release from the American Family Association. So thank you for letting me know, and thank you from our listeners for me letting them know, and hopefully they tell everybody they know. And yeah, that's how it works. Continuing here, by the way, there wasn't a single peep from Walmart's Facebook or Instagram page about Memorial Day throughout the weekend, although they certainly hoped you'd spend a lot of money at their stores to celebrate it. Really, not a peep, not a single word, not a syllable anywhere, not a sign, not a commercial, nothing that even implied what Memorial Day was all about. It's Walmart, for God's sake. I mean, it's where the people that usually attack everything we believe in, where they tend to hang out. So it's kind of hard to believe that Walmart all of a sudden decided to ignore Memorial Day. I think whoever wrote this is more upset that they even in a very tiny way chose to acknowledge gay people. The horror. How dare they?
Yeah, and I don't think it's giving them enough leeway. Like, they are doing a lot, and for a lot of queer people, I think this stuff is really almost excessive. It can be a little much for people that identify with it, but are like, wow, this is just everywhere. But at the same time, visibility has takes on a lot of different forms, and it's still something I think that our society is defining, like what it looks like and how this appears, how this time of year appears. Memorial Day has other things associated with it. Namely, I would say, and I'm speaking from like a distributor like Walmart's perspective.
Indy 500?
Well, I'm thinking like barbecue. I'm thinking, you know, what does it conjure? Some flags? I'm sure there's some flags on display,
Yeah.
You know, right on the ends, so you could buy them quickly of all sizes. Maybe cupcakes that are red, white, and blue. I don't know, desserts and like picnic stuff.
Well, Kyle, can I ask you, is it...
They sell all of that in conjunction with Memorial Day.
Is it disrespectful to cook meat on an open flame during Memorial Day? Is that disrespectful?
That's very dark.
I don't know.
I like where
I don't
you're
know.
Going.
No, I don't know where I'm going. I'm
we
just
don't
asking
need to
a question.
That, but yeah,
no,
that's...
I'm just saying that's you know, you could twist that to make that into the ultimate disrespect.
Totally. But what do they expect from them? Well, like t-shirts with airplanes on them and flags.
No,
and
let's look at Memorial Day for a second. It's to honor those people who have sacrificed their lives for freedom, to keep our country, you know, in one piece and safe from threats, foreign and now domestic. What better time for people to express their individuality and say, wow, you know, I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of who you are. Maybe we wouldn't be able to do that were it not for these brave people. I mean, it seems like a much better tie-in than cooking a hamburger.
Well, that is true. I think there's a whole conversation about that, like the tie-in with both the kinds of values that our veterans have fought and do fight for around the world, around the clock, like to this very moment. And you could say that because of the timing, like perhaps it is... how do I want to say strategic, you know, it's brilliant of them to mm-hmm. try to force a little bit of a tie-in, given the time frame and message. And, I think also visibility, like bumping it up a little, maybe it does sort of throw things off and here we are discussing it a little bit more than maybe we would.
That's right. We are.
Because they were brave enough on top of all of the merchandising and stuff that, like I said, can even be a little much for members of the communities that they're advocating for. But they're finding their own ways as a retailer to figure out what works. Mm-hmm. This is newer as far as visibility, and bumping up the discussion of it can be a part of that too. Maybe they'll not do it a week early next year.
I don't see much of a discussion though. I mean, you know, Walmart is Walmart.
Yeah, it's not that brave.
Walmart is not really interested in social issues. And
no.
I think it's foolish to believe that they are. They want more customers. They want more people to walk through those doors. And, you know, by having a shirt that will be appealing to some people, they might succeed in doing that. What's crazy is not being able to accept the fact that not every shirt in Walmart is one that you want to wear. I'm sure there are phrases and pictures of shirts all throughout that store that I would find absolutely repellent to display. But, you know, I know what Walmart is. It's a store with all kinds of different things in it. And, you know, you do you. And let everybody else do themselves. Now, let me finish this this press release here because I really want to get through it. So did Walmart CEO Doug McMillon lie to shareholders and the public last year when he said the company does not, quote, wake up in the morning wanting to go and make social and political statements, unquote, in response to a shareholder question? It would seem so. Really? They're making a statement just by selling a shirt that basically says some people are gay, get over it, and maybe a rainbow or two. That's a political statement to you. You see, when people's very existence is equated with a political statement, I think we have a problem. I think that's something where you don't see that other people are equal to you. They are entitled to live their lives as themselves and not be relegated into a controversial figure or someone who is basically only talked about when it's a political debate. No, people are different. People live their lives. And if you can't accept that, fine, don't accept it. But don't expect the rest of us to join you in your intolerance, because that is not what this country is. That's not what Memorial Day is about. Not what veterans fought for. It's none of that. You are the person here that does not get it. So anyway, this thing closes with take action. Yeah, they're going to take action against Walmart now because of that one shirt or whatever other trifling things they were able to dig up. One more paragraph here. As proof, Chief Merchandising Officer Latrice Watkins said in 2023 that the company had no plans to change its LGBTQ+ merchandise, and it didn't in 2023. That means someone did wake up wanting to make pro-LGBTQ+ social statements after all. I couldn't even follow that, but there's some kind of conspiracy apparently. Take action. As you know, Target and Bud Light faced huge backlashes from conservatives over their aggressive, in-your-face LGBTQ+ promotions. Hardly. Let's send the same message to Walmart. So they have a petition now asking the company to pull its online promotion of LGBTQ+ merchandise. They want you to call your local Walmart and tell the manager that gay displays in your store violate you community standards. That's what they say, you community standards, and urge him or her to not allow them. you can find the number here. I hope they get somebody non-binary and they call. And you don't know what pronoun to use, and you don't even get past that. After signing the petition, please take a few minutes to read A Christian Response to Pride Month by Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. And if you survive all that, you're stronger than I can imagine. From the president of American Family Association, Tim Wildman. Is that really his name, Tim Wildman? Really? Wow, you can't make this up, can you? Or maybe this is all fake. I don't know. But I think this is a real organization, AFA. Because I read the crazy sometimes, and this is one of the funnier ones. This is one of the more amusing ones. You know, Walmart. Walmart is the enemy of the right. You know what? If you want to make enemies of everybody, okay, you know, your cult is going to get smaller and smaller, and everything is going to seem hostile to you.
Yeah, I think like you do you thing isn't enough. No. Not for our culture. We gotta like recognize that there's overlap, just as in the time frame between the holidays and the story. There's overlap between your communities, your families, your congregations, and academic institutions like this one. It all is a microcosm. So, you know, challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. If you have certain hang-ups and associations with the flag and the kinds of merchandise, look at what you're really angry about and maybe educate yourself a little bit, and try to talk to some people that would challenge you, that might answer your questions and reframe some of what your misconceptions might be from their experience that is entirely different than the kind of life you're trying to impose, instead of really getting an understanding of what life is all around you and is a part of your community.
Now, when you say people have hang-ups about the flag, you're talking about the gay flag?
Yeah. The rainbows and all of that. Because like, what meaning are you attaching?
I want to address hang-ups about other flags, because this is something that I think needs to be addressed, because it kind of makes things too easy to attack the entire community. If our community, and you know, I'm speaking quite broadly here, because I think many, many people are part of this community. If we push back against displays of the nation's flag, it is our nation. It's our nation too. We can't just give it up and give it to these people that are bigoted and closed-minded and hateful. So, you know, if we carry the American flag in our marches, our parades, our demonstrations, and embrace it as ours, and I know this country has many flaws, I know this country has a very tarnished history, but does that mean that we can't look to the future as a better one if we're able to make changes? Because if we're not able to do that, what are we doing? What are we fighting for exactly? A complete revolution and a different flag? You know, that's too much for most people to handle. So why don't we just embrace it ourselves and refuse to give it up? And I think that will get many more people to say, yeah, these folks are not bad people. These are good people. And you know, it's the ones that are filled with hatred that are the true enemy of what this country is supposed to stand for. So next time you find yourself in a march of some sort or a rally, don't shy away from holding the American flag and saying, this is my flag. And if anybody tells you otherwise, then you got something. You're basically rubbing a sore point. You know, I remember there was an incident last election where somebody out here in Suffolk County had a Biden sticker on their pickup truck and an American flag, and they were forced by a bunch of hoodlums, because that's what these people are, to take down the American flag because it was not theirs. I don't know why that story didn't get traction. We talked about it here, but that kind of thing happens all over the place, and we needed to make it more visible. We need to show people this is what we're dealing with here. We can't wave the flag that represents us, meaning the entire country, because these people have hijacked it and assume it's only for them. Let's not make it that easy.
Yeah, that kind of goes to the Memorial Day and those symbols overlapping. I think there should be just as much, especially in the run-up to the 4th of July here. So as much of the American flag As much as there are rainbow flags, there should be American flags, because it is representative of our broader ideals, and there is a certain reclamation of that that needs to take place. I think it's been lost, like you said. And also, in the extreme sort of run-up to the political season, where we're going to see all sorts of weird flags, you know? And it's come up with the Supreme Court, this crazy wife of a justice that's doing all this crazy stuff with flags. And then you have all these, like, Lives Matter, and, like, they're basically kind of fake American flags, in my opinion.
Well, how is it that the Blue Lives Matter people can deface the flag? They can deface the American flag. And, you know, if somebody on the other side were to do that,
I don't think they can.
There should be a Black Lives Matter flag that is basically an interpretation of the American flag. And, you know, if that happened, I guarantee you the right would lose its mind. But it's somehow okay for them to deface the flag with their Blue Lives Matter message. You know, let's have some consistency here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's actually worthy of a show here on WSB is Flag Talk.
Flag Talk, yeah. I like that.
I mean, because like a black and white version of the Stars and Stripes, I don't think is that bad. I don't think I like a one or two color black and white Stars
monochrome.
And Stripes.
Monochrome Liberty.
Monochrome flag. But when you start adding things and you're doing like stripes, different stripes, and representing other things, and then of course this whole phenomenon of like political flags, and it's just, it confuses, fragments, and cheapens our sense of what national identity can be represented in that format. So yeah, don't forget about that. We got 4th of July, so plenty of time to find your flag wherever.
And
you
other things to focus
on.
I'm
sure there is. Yeah.
Now this Bruce Blakeman is really out of control, the Nassau County executive far right guy. He is fixated with women's locker rooms, and how do we get him to stop? Because seriously, this is the guy that is obsessed with barring transgender women from participating in girls and women's sports on county property, even though there aren't complaints coming from the girls and women. You might find some right wing parent that's insisting that their child has been traumatized when there is no true evidence of that. But you know, he tried to force this through, was struck down in the courts, but is not stopping. Now his second bid to block transgender females from even participating in girls and women's sports in public locations, 100 ball fields, swimming pools, basketball courts, other county sites. Blakeman argues transgender girls and women hold an unfair competitive advantage. Let the teams decide that. Let the women, let the girls decide that. It's not any of your damn business. But now he's pushing it through as a bill, and the bill is moving forward. The vote in the Rules Committee was 4-3 after about an hour of debate that included yelling, finger-pointing, and personal anecdotes. I don't know what's wrong with personal anecdotes, but whatever. Advocates and members of the transgender community said the bill sends a message of hostility during a month in which the LGBTQ plus community celebrates its civil rights. Why do you think he's doing it now? Of course, it's because of that. Further marginalizes people already at risk of depression and suicide. And, you know, the really crazy part about all this is that the county attorney's office confirms there are no instances of transgender females in Nassau even wanting to play on women's teams. So what exactly is the issue here? This is just some kind of a right-wing talking point where, you know, if you can further isolate an already marginalized community and make them feel like the enemy and make others feel like they're the enemy, yeah, that's a win for you guys, isn't it? That's what you're playing the game for. We need to reject this. We need to not bow into the simplicity and look at what the true motives are behind this. It's really sickening.
What's noteworthy, I think, is that they have such limited purview because it is government, and there are spaces to control people's lives in the way they'd like to in this particular part of society. It's just it's hard to find examples and ways where they can make a case without coming off in like a big government sort of overbearing light. And there are really not that many ways. So much of our society is governed in, by many different types of protections, but also public-private spaces. And of course, we are all entitled to some level of privacy in our own homes and are afforded many rights surrounding this. So that they are looking so hard for things that, like you said, aren't really functionally issues. And what came to mind in, when you're reading that is, what about just recreating? I mean, you're talking about competing, but what if people just want to go to these spaces that are gathering places and public or semi-public? What if they just want to exist there? And it's sort of lumping the argument. Maybe that's two separate parts of their upset over this issue, but it's just it doesn't speak to the practical access to the facilities and there and this sort of hypothetical problem.
And that's the easy part, is to make people into the problem, to make people into demons that you can scare the civilians and make them support ridiculous conclusions that you reach. Again, no instances of anyone even wanting to be on a team that you find to be objectionable. But again, the complaints are not coming from the actual participants. They're coming from these old white guys that basically are obsessed with this, and it needs to stop, and somebody with sanity needs to step in. I don't know what Blakeman's problem is, but he's not getting any better, folks. It's getting worse. All right, quickly, because we're running out of time, we're going to talk about the Farmingdale women, speaking of Nassau County, who is suing Cold Stone Creamery because pistachio ice cream apparently doesn't have real pistachio in it. We were going to devote the whole show to this, in fact, but, you know, we're out of time, so let's not. I just don't know how somebody is able. Why does she get to sue? Why can't I sue? Because she got an ice cream cone and it didn't have pistachios in it. Now she's going to sue them for $5 million. That could have been me. I could have gotten an ice cream cone. I could have said, I don't like this. And $5 million? Because, wow. I don't understand the system, but that's America, I suppose. Congestion pricing. All right, Governor Hochul has put the kibosh on that for now. I'm not happy. It's supposed to happen on June 30th. $15 for anybody driving into Lower Manhattan on a daily basis, less at later hours, raising a ton of money for mass transit, which we sorely need. But of course, people are upset at having to pay anything. Let me just ask one question, okay? People who commute, right, and they're the minority, first of all. Most people do commute by mass transit. But those of you who commute by car, where do you put your car when you drive into Manhattan? Because I know you can't just park on the street. So where do you go? Do you put your car in a garage? Ah, you put your car in a garage. Okay, so you feel you have to drive, and whatever, I guess taking a train is inconvenient, or you don't want to be with other people, fine. But you put your car in a garage. Is that free? Do you get to do that for nothing? No, you pay somebody for that? How much do you pay for that? I'll bet it's more than $15 a day, yet you have no problem doing that. You know, maybe there's a way to balance these two things somehow, but it's hypocritical to say you can't afford $15 a day if you're already spending significantly more than that. All right? And we need to take a closer look. You know, honestly, I'm not happy, but I understand why she did it, and I think it's a smart move because people are getting way riled up about this, spreading misinformation and hostility, and yeah, it could wind up hurting in the upcoming elections. It could wind up hurting with whatever policies get passed in the future. It can be done better, but it should not be shelved completely. Same reason that Biden is acting on the border, you know? Again, you need to turn off the misinformation that's making it appear like he has the power to do something. Yeah, it's going to be overturned in the courts. He knows that. We all know that. And the right wing will probably try to blame him again. But keep in mind, the Republicans are the ones who turned down the deal, you know, to address the immigration issue. because they didn't want it solved. They want to have this talking point. And if he passes an executive order saying, okay, this is what's going to happen, it's what you're asking for, what are they going to do now? Then the courts will overturn it. And okay, are they going to be mad at the courts or are they going to be mad at Biden? Of course, they'll find a way to be mad at Biden. It's, you know, it's all politics.
Yeah, I think you're onto it. There's probably half a dozen other things that could be much more popular that are initiatives that the state may not have as much capital as a result of, but will be popular politically, like going into this cycle. And I think having those kinds of successes, new things that inspire the public throughout the state, I think that's the kind of leadership that is going to be something you can run on and get people out and happy about the way their life, the trajectory of their lives, not something like, oh, I have this additional tax I'm incurring or, you know, all but tax.
It's a shrewd political move to postpone it. Yeah. Just like Emmanuel Macron in France is basically calling for elections after, you know, the dismal results of the EU elections in his country where the far right gained. Well, okay, he's calling the bluff of the people now. Do you want to turn the country far right or not? Well, yeah. You decide now in less than a month.
Have like six popular things that are smaller that people can talk about in the fall instead of one really unpopular thing throughout, you know, the tri-state area. And yeah, so
we're gonna
think it through.
We're going to see what happens.
Run it, roll it out in smaller tiers and phases.
So pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at Stony Brook University right here. A month ago, they're going to have charges dropped against them. How about that? What a surprise, because it really wasn't a crime what they were doing. 27 of the 29 people charged have agreed to ACDs, adjournment and contemplation of dismissal. You know, when I had one, it was called ACOD, whatever. The agreement means that in 6 months, all the charges will be dismissed as long as they are not arrested in the interim. And that's not that hard to do. And we didn't mention this, that the president of Stony Brook is no longer going to be the president of Stony Brook because of her shameful actions in regards to these demonstrators. She was forced to resign. No, that's not what happened.
I wanted you to keep going with that.
That was my dream. But no, Yale University decided to snap her up, and she's going to be the president of Yale. I guess they liked the way she handled it. So,
That's
Maureen McGinnis is no longer going to be the Stony Brook president. If you're looking for a job and you want to handle pro-Palestinian demonstrators better, it's really not that hard to do. But I think the want ads will be going out soon.
Yeah. Yeah, so that position is taking, and I'm thinking about being the CEO of Boeing. I think I could run it better.
Anybody could run it better. Yeah. You know, a Cocker Spaniel could run it better. Yeah. Really, I'm
Fresh
not kidding
up that
about
resume.
That. So four hostages were rescued over the weekend. Great news, except when you read about how 274 Palestinians were killed to rescue four people, and I just don't even know how to process that. I mean, the majority of them, women and children, again. What is wrong with Israel? I mean, how do you even do that? How do you go in and rescue four people and kill 274 others in the process? First of all, I would bet you probably killed some hostages in that, because if they're being kept in a densely populated area and you're throwing around missiles and bombs and shooting people on site and all that, you're going to make bad decisions, I'll bet. More bad decisions. 200 and to not even acknowledge that this maniac Netanyahu is not even acknowledging the deaths of all these people, just celebrating the return. And I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate the fact that four people are okay, but if this is how you do it, there is something seriously wrong with the way you're handling the situation. Not that we didn't know that already, but if you needed it painted for you in as bleak an outlook as possible, this is it. And if you're not upset by so many people dying, look to yourself. I don't understand how anybody could not be upset by this. And one of the things, particularly sick things I heard from one of the Israeli government representatives was that people are refusing to celebrate the return, by focusing on the deaths, as if, you know, the two are things that you can't do at the same time. You can't say it's good that four people are okay and bad that 274 people were killed in the process. Because if you say that, somehow it negates the four people being... No, it doesn't make any sense. Don't allow yourself to be twisted into a pretzel like that, because it's just, it's wrong. But something positive might be happening, and that's the UN Security Council voting 14-0 with Russia abstaining in favor of a Gaza ceasefire, which means that it's been approved. This basically means that this whole thing could end. There's three phases. First, a six-week phase would include a complete ceasefire, release of some hostages, prisoner exchange, and allow Palestinian civilians to return to their homes if they're even still there, in addition to humanitarian aid. And that ceasefire would continue as long as negotiations for the first phase continue. Then the second phase includes a release of all of the hostages in Gaza, a full withdrawal of Israeli forces, followed by the third phase of a Gaza reconstruction plan and the return of the remains of any deceased hostages still in Gaza. And that resolution also reiterates a commitment to a two-state solution that does not involve Hamas. I mean, this is a win for everybody. Not that win is in the vocabulary of Palestinians right now, but this makes sense. And it's something that Biden is largely responsible for. And that's what I meant earlier when I said is he has really evolved. He would not have put this forth 6 months ago. So this is something I think we should all get behind. And anybody who doesn't get behind this really is voting for more war and more horrors. And enough already. Enough. And I think that's going to do it for us tonight, Kyle. I think that's about all we have energy to put out tonight. It's been Off the Wall. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We do enjoy hearing from our listeners. And any final thoughts that you can put in 30 seconds?
Yes. Yeah. Beware of the psychotic in the world.
There's a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah. I look out for one another and stop these people. Stop the madness already.
Yeah. Just try and reach these people. Because, you know, when you get caught up in things that are so full of passion and accusations and things like that, sometimes you just don't see what's around you. You know, music is amazing because a song can be half a century old and still resonate insofar as the message that it sends. So that's why we play music here on WUSB, and that's why I hope you keep listening to music. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
See ya.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.